Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 12. I'm Jason Webster, here with your other hosts, Jeff Webster and Jake Cranston.
What's up, fellas?
Jason, Jake, how we doing?
Doing, good. Man. You know, we got the win, so that's all that counts, right?
It was a hard-fought win.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like football season outside.
Yeah, it's getting chilly.
As opposed to Miami, and when it's 90 degrees and super humid in Western New York right now, it's pretty comfortable.
It's amazing, like, if you think about the perspective of an NFL player right now, that they might travel and get 110 degrees a week or two ago.
Right.
And then, you know, be playing in 50.
Right. Well,
you know, it's just, it's a big difference.
What was it in Baltimore? Was it like low 50s or whatever?
It was, rainy and 50s, I think.
50s, yeah.
Because Josh Allen had the hand warmer.
Yep.
You know? Yeah, so it was, and they were head jackets on.
I mean,
on
even
on
if it's not that cold, the wind and the rain combo can really chill you fast.
Absolutely, man. I've been there. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yep. Playing in rain's tough, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would like to apologize to our audience. You may hear some background noise. Somebody is doing some fuckery in their yard, and machinery is going, so hopefully you don't hear it.
Right.
Yeah,
and
hopefully not.
And we would like to try to get that trademarked. The fuckery is Jason's word. Don't really want anybody using it.
What do you got to do to get
copyrighted? That son of a bitch.
Is there a way to submit that?
It's probably going to get trademarked, I think.
Yeah, I would go that way.
Fuckery.
The general fuckery. Anyway. Nice. Yeah,
so I guess we should recap a little bit of that Ravens game, right?
I mean, the tale of two halves, man.
Oh, yeah. It was an entirely different football game.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a lot of talk. People are concerned. The Bills on offense have staggered a little bit. So whether they're drinking before the game or whatever, they come out a little sloppy.
Right.
You know, we had a couple of turnovers again. And, you know, being Buffalo fans, we have to kind of overreact to that situation.
Yes.
I mean, thankfully, the second half, they turned it around, looked like their old selves. They moved the ball, and the defense took the ball away.
And the question becomes, can a team that only performs well two quarters or three quarters actually win a Super Bowl?
Right.
And is that the team that we are? Are we the team that can, that is always going to suck at least one quarter of every game?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we didn't against Tennessee and we didn't against the Rams. First 2 weeks, we pretty much, I think we were tied at halftime with the Rams. Maybe we had a small lead against Tennessee since they only scored 7 points, something like that, you know. So, and both of those were fairly clean. They were better weather games. You know, Miami was killer heat. Baltimore was cool and wet. And so maybe it's an overreaction.
Yeah.
This is a get right week coming up. We'll talk about it later. But yeah, I don't know. It's like we talk about with Josh Allen. Occasionally he'll do something silly. But if that's what it takes to have basically an elite quarterback 90% of the time or 90%+ of the time, maybe that's cool. I'm all right with that.
Yeah, we're just feeling our way still right now, honestly. I mean, we have a new offensive coordinator.
Right.
So I'm sure there's still things that are kind of trying to get figured out.
And you injuries know, on the offensive they just, line.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not going to sit there and talk about it to the public and say, hey, you know, our communication isn't right still, or, you know, Dorsey's not seeing what I'm seeing on the field completely correct yet. It's
right.
So, I mean, they still got to feel their way between each other as far as what their play calls are going to be. And then personnel. I mean, our personnel is not 100%. Because the thing us fans, we don't really think about is we go into games or, you know, they look at the personnel every week, who's starting, and they have to game plan for that early.
Right.
And all of a sudden now you get a guy that gets hurt. You know, Crowder's out. Boom. His ankle's broke. Crap. Now we got to bring in Shakir. They didn't game plan for him.
Right.
You know, it's just tough with the injuries because you have to go more by the seat of your pants during a game. You know what I mean?
Right. And it makes it more impressive that they controlled the play. They out-possessed the ball 40 minutes, 20 minutes over Baltimore. So, again, just like in Miami, they did thoroughly outplay the team even after those injuries. So
it's because we got Josh Allen.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the biggest part, honestly.
It's crazy to me.
It does feel.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it feels like, you know, at least the last couple of weeks we've been playing from behind to an extent, you know, during these football games. It's a crazy thing that we can come out after the half and just do so well.
Just dominate, really.
Yeah, yeah. Always. It's consistent. It's been, a full year of that almost now. If you count from like the fourth or fifth game last season, we've been doing it the whole time.
Yeah, we were like last year. We were more of a second half team.
Yep.
Almost every game we had like the first half. Like
they got to be like jerking each other off in the locker room or something. Like I don't know what it could be.
I don't know, man. But the Jaguars game, for instance, the Baltimore game felt kind of like the Jaguars game, except Baltimore kept scoring points, you know? It's just like no matter what we did in the first half is we kept messing up or fumbling. We couldn't catch the ball.
Well, we
are three and out. It's just
talked about we've now spotted two consecutive teams a touchdown, literally.
Oh, yeah.
Like against Miami, we score a touchdown. We fumble. They get it inside the 5-yard line and they score. And then what do we do against Baltimore? Same thing, except we didn't score first. Maybe did we kick a field goal? I don't remember. But no, I don't think so. I think we turned it over on our first possession.
They went up 7-0, and then we went down and we scored. We kicked a field goal, so it was 7-3, and then after that they outscored us.
When we turned the ball over, I think it was on our very first possession.
Yeah,
we hadn't driven the field for the first time this year.
Yep,
and so we gave them the ball again. I think it was around the inside the 10, but then a penalty I think moved it inside the 5. So that's two consecutive weeks we literally practically handed a team
on a silver platter.
Yeah, we handicapped ourselves 7 points. So yeah.
Well, the ball gets tipped. I mean, what the heck do you do about that?
Well,
right?
Correct. I'm just saying you can call it, you know, just stupid luck, maybe even. There's not much you can do about that. It's going to happen.
It's just kind of like a shit play that happens. Unfortunately, ball's getting tipped, but they got to figure that out though, because they're getting
right.
They got like probably like 4 or 5 times they tipped the ball.
Right.
It should have been intercepted at least 3 of them.
Yep.
Well, if it wasn't raining. That could be.
But that's something you got to, like, they
game plans.
You
got to
figure out.
Right.
You know, I mean.
And it's hard to ask more out of Josh because he's doing so well. Like you said, despite everything else that's happened with this team, he's been a good quarterback every game.
Yeah.
But he does have a couple of turnovers. So, I mean, it's one thing that we could get a handle on.
Right. Well, like Jake said, I mean, if you have a team, especially that have Calais Campbell's, what, 6'7"? He's huge.
Well, he got the first one.
Right.
He's whoever the other guy was. Dude, man. The other guy was tipping. He had 3 of them.
Right.
90, whatever his number was, 93. I don't even know who it was. 92. Yeah. I don't know. But, yeah.
It's something they got a plan for, you know, and maybe that's coming with experience through the offensive coordinator, new offensive line coach.
Well, you can't cut guys anymore either, Jeff.
Right.
You remember when they would teach guys at the line of scrimmage?
To take them out.
If a guy gets his hands up, then you cut him, you know, so he goes down. Or what they used to teach him too, Jay, is at the point of contact, so the ball gets hiked, they would teach linemen, guys that were big, get their hands up, kind of like even like Groot, right?
Yeah.
He's the type of guy that is like that too. They would teach you right at the point of contact to just go right down and chop
the
guy right at the legs, so you get him down, so it opens up your passing lanes.
Which is now a penalty.
Now you can't do that. Right. So it's like, what do you do?
Right.
You know.
Well, and it's again, weird. Like I say, I personally think that Josh Allen is so effective on the move that as Ken Dorsey becomes more comfortable as the offensive coordinator, I think hopefully we'll see more of that, because that's one way to get away from that, right?
Right.
If you get out of the pocket, if you're mobile and get away from that pressure and the hands, you're less likely to have that happen. And fortunately for us, Josh Allen is one of the best quarterbacks as far as mobility wise and throwing on the move. So,
and we saw an example of that in this last game, probably one of the best scrambles I've ever seen Josh do. He evaded what was surely a sack 2-3 times in one play.
Right.
And then got the completion. I mean, come on.
And
he should not have to do that. It's the same thing we were talking about last year. When there's that much pressure, these guys need to be able to figure it out. As you said, more difficult to do that now. How do you figure it
out? Well, and that's part of it, right? If you're expecting a blitz and plenty of pressure from that defensive line and linebackers and safeties and things like that, roll out.
And he did.
Get out of the pocket.
He was stuck right in the pocket.
Right. And it seemed like he did that a lot. It's not a problem having a quarterback who throws from the pocket. You know, that's great. But in certain circumstances, like what you were talking about, when guys are getting their hands up, you've got huge defensive linemen, and maybe you're a little overmatched with the offensive line, roll them out. Get them out of there.
It seems like he's doing that less this year. It seemed like last year he was rolling out consistently every game.
Yeah.
I wonder if they tried to train that out of the offense, and now it's kind of biting them in the butt a little bit.
Well, it's a new coordinator, and it's his game plan, so maybe. Yeah,
it's tough to say, you know, and you, looking at other spots of the game too, you know, we had a lot of issues with drop balls. It was a wet day, so
that's understandable for sure. Yeah.
But one thing that we hopefully can just really start nipping in the bud is like these injuries. So, like for instance, Gabe Davis, he hasn't been himself really at all this year.
No.
You know,
not even last
first,
year.
Like the first game against the Rams, I think he was healthy, but it doesn't seem like he's been himself after that.
After that, he rolled his ankle. He didn't play against Tennessee. And then since then, Miami, he wasn't nearly the same. And the thing we're missing, guys, is we're missing that guy getting downfield, stretching the field, right?
Yes.
And Gabe Davis was usually that type of guy that we were going to rely on to do that.
Fast,
so
we
got to get him healthy. He's got to get that ankle healthy.
Well, this might be the good week to just set him on the bench.
I mean, it could be, depending on how bad 14, his ankle is.
14 or 14 and a half point favorites. I mean, yeah, I agree. Like, if he's healthy and he's 100%, absolutely.
I wouldn't say
keep
just like...
Keep his snaps low.
Yeah, keep his snaps low. The other thing, too, is who are the Bills going to kind of replace McKenzie and Crowder with? I don't know if McKenzie's going to be back this week.
That's kind of up in
the air. Like, is Tavon Austin coming up, you know?
Well, was his a neck injury, too, or was it a concussion? I think he's in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
So it may be with the new rule, if it is 10 days.
Then he's out.
Yeah, he ain't going to make it. It's Sunday to Sunday.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Well, and so before we touch on that, which we definitely want to touch on the concussion protocol a little bit here, but the other thing I wanted to mention is I haven't really seen them use Dawson Knox as much. I mean, I know they're using 100%. Him for other purposes, but they need to get him downfield.
Yep, 100%. He's very athletic, and he's very good after the catch. So, and he can punish guys.
Yep.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, I don't know if it's game plan or what have you.
So.
But
well, they're running out of talent. They might need to use him now.
Yeah, you got to get him involved somehow, some way. I mean, not that they're not using him. They're not using him a lot. Like his targets are definitely down, I think.
Especially in the red zone.
Red zone.
You know, I'm surprised. That surprises me a bit.
A little bit.
Because he had nine touchdowns. He was really good in the red zone last year.
He was, yeah.
And they did some different things. I remember the one play where Josh Allen runs like he's going to run the ball. When the players come at him, Dawson Knox is standing all by himself in the end zone. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely, yep.
So, but that being said, and utilizing players, there was a lot going on with James Cook earlier today on a local radio broadcast. Yeah. And we talked about
sir.
It. And, I mean, what are your thoughts? He isn't being utilized dramatically. And the point I think they were trying to make was because he fumbled on his very first carry that he was being somehow held back or punished, even though Devin Singletary throughout his career has occasionally had issues fumbling the ball. But yet they always go back to him. You know, in this last game in Baltimore, he fumbled the ball, but they didn't put him on the bench. Now, obviously, he's earned the, you know, latitude to allow for that type of an error. Obviously, you're not going to sit Josh Allen because he throws an interception. I mean, they're veteran players. But what are your thoughts, man? What do you guys think is going on with James Cook? Is it part of the plan?
I mean, he had two snaps last game against Baltimore. That was it. So, I mean, can you fault the guy for dropping a pass? Not really, because I mean, we have
everybody drops.
We have veterans that go out there and drop passes and play kind of crappy. I mean, Devin Singletary drops passes. You know, I mean, it's Zach Moss. Like, how many times are we going to watch Zach Moss and third and short get stuffed and not make a first down? So guys play here and there, right?
Right.
So we don't know what else it could be because we're not there. We don't see what happens behind the scenes. Is it something? I mean, the guy, James Cook, has to practice throughout the week. Is he doing stuff in practice that the coaches just don't think he's showing he's ready for games yet?
Right.
You know, yes, he has an insane amount of talent, right?
And that's the point. I think that's the great point, is we're not there. Like, we aren't behind the scenes working with him on a daily basis. How is he? Is he struggling with the playbook? Maybe, you know, I know you said, like, running backs, it's not a tremendous a lot, you know, like, to learn and stuff like that. But there's pass protection. There's other
things. Yeah, you got to learn that type of stuff, right?
Right.
You got to learn pass protection. You got to learn your keys of where you got to release out to the flat when you need to.
Make yourself available to the quarterback as that, you know, that outlet guy.
Exactly.
When nobody else is open.
Certain option routes you got to run. I mean, the NFL, it's, you don't just walk into the NFL and it's easy.
Right.
I mean, I don't care what position you play.
Right.
It's just not like that. So who knows? I mean, the other thing that was brought up by Joe DiBiase was maybe Ken Dorsey doesn't know how to use him yet.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know if I buy that.
Not at all.
You know, I mean, Ken Dorsey knows how to use all these other weapons, it seems.
Yeah, fairly speaking decent. Of Ken Dorsey, his response to that was some guys are going to play more in certain games, certain game plans, and others are going to play less. You know, that's just the way the game goes.
Yeah.
And I think the younger you are and the newer to the system, I mean, I heard Josh Allen talk about, like, his first year, his head was spinning. Like, there's so much to learn. You're away from home, you know, like, you're away from your friends in college. It's like a whole new environment. You're traveling, hotels, and, you know, just a lot of stuff you're not used to. People are, you know, you got more money than you used to have. Like, there's a lot going on.
Yep.
Where am I living? You know, I'm in a new city. There's just a lot for a new player to have to deal with. So I that might play a part, too.
Like, there could be that. What about Josh, right? What if Josh Allen... You know, he's a top 2-3 quarterback in this league. You think if Josh Allen goes to the coaches or goes to Ken Dorsey, says, look, I want Singletary to get the most meaningful snaps on this offense because I think he does the best job for these type of reasons, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You think Ken Dorsey is going to tell his almost MVP quarterback? No, I want.
It's my way or the highway.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
So,
well, and it might not even have to be that extreme. It could just be that Josh is, you know, he's finally to the point where he's comfortable with the tools that he has.
Exactly.
And even if this new tool might be better, it takes time to learn how to use it properly.
Right.
I hate to refer to a human being as a tool, but it's a good analogy.
Yeah. I've been called that before.
There are people who, you know, aren't necessarily stubborn because they use something that they're used to. You know, like,
well, yeah, yeah. And that's 100% correct, because I mean, think about it. Like, Josh finally is in his fifth year. The guy is completely comfortable with who he has around him, guys that he's practiced with on the off season. You know what he's comfortable with. Obviously Diggs and him are like tight knit.
Right.
Him. I mean, he sat there in the post game press conference and just kept putting Singletary out there being like, hey, he's Singletary, watch Devin Singletary's tape. He does everything right. This, and this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it could be even part of Josh.
And beyond that, too, how about Patrick Mahomes? Is Andy Reid stupid because he put him on the bench for an entire season? Like, he got to learn the game from the bench. That's what the plan was for Josh Allen. According to the coaching staff, he was going to be a backup for the first season until he came acclimated with the game. I think Aaron Rodgers sat on the bench for 2 years. Like, whoever the head coach was at that point, was he stupid because he didn't put in a, you know, basically a Super Bowl quarterback in immediately?
Well, he wasn't at the time, right?
Right.
So,
there doesn't have to be a good reason, but there very likely is a reason.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. And we, none of us that aren't part of that organization or being a player, a coach, we none of us will truly know what that is.
No.
You know, but they have their reasons, whatever it is. Like, I think
he's not complaining.
Well, why
and
would,
that's,
yeah.
That's really the only way that we as fans ever get to find those things out is when you have a loudmouth player who gets upset about something.
Right.
Hopefully he's not that guy.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, Dalvin, his brother, has always been a really good guy. And, you know, he's been a pretty good teammate from what I understand. So I can't imagine he would be any different. And I think he knows that in the Buffalo Bills, as a unit, the entire coaching staff has always said, you earn your position on this team. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's all it is. Like, you gotta pay your dues, man. You're gonna work your ass off and not see a reward right away.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's the way it goes.
Yeah, McDermott's
He's a fair dude.
He seems like that type of coach since he's got here. I mean, he wants you, and he's said it. Like, we've watched, all the different embedded and stuff
for sure.
Where, you know, he's watching tape with his players, and he's like, you know, why'd you do this here? And, you know, guys, if you're not here and you're not putting in the work, you're not playing. Like, so he's that type of coach.
They respect that, too. I think players, he's not trying to be their friend. He respects them, and he wants the respect in return. It's a working relationship, right?
And he's earned it.
Yeah, and he is their friend. I mean, I think, what I understand, it's a great relationship. Everybody seems to really like him, and they've been talking about the process since Sean McDermott got here, right? There's a process for James Cook in his skill set, where he came from. There is a process. They're working through that, I'm sure.
Yep.
I don't believe he was being punished for fumbling or dropping a pass.
No.
I don't think that has anything to do with anything.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
so
not,
either.
It's not,
I
really Pee-wee, don't. It's not Pee-wee football.
Right.
It's, and, you know what I mean?
But like, I will say that has happened. When the Bills were going through their hard times last year for a few games in a row, Isaiah McKenzie made a couple of mistakes back-to-back, and he sat out for a while.
Right. Yep.
And we all were aware of that.
Yep.
But we're not in that position right now. We're not that team.
No. Right. And you can't look at it as punishment. I think you got to look at it as, like, they're trying to give these guys a learning curve, right? Like, you can't say, like, oh, you played like shit, you're on the bench until you could get your head out of your ass.
No.
It's not like that with these guys.
No.
It's more like, listen, we got to figure out a way to prepare you better so these mistakes don't happen. I mean, these guys on this team not only are supposed to be physically gifted, but they draft these guys for their mental capacity of how to play football, you know?
Yeah, and I think it was one of the radio broadcasters earlier this morning was talking, maybe Eric Wood or somebody was mentioning, too, that when Devin Singletary fumbled the ball, the first guy to meet him on the sideline was James Cook, kind of telling him what Devin Singletary had told James Cook when he fumbled, that, dude, you know, shake it off. It's one play. We got to get ready. We got to be prepared when our number's called to get back out there and do it all over again and just do our best to make sure we don't make the same mistakes twice. And, you know, all those things that players would obviously probably tell each other to kind of get past that, because you don't want to be, you know, shaking your head and sitting there all depressed and shit because you made a mistake. Like, it's not going to help anybody.
To force a segue, speaking of shaking your head, let's talk about Tua a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We covered James Cook pretty good. I think we covered a Baltimore game for the most part. The Bills kicked ass in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
They were a little loose in the first half, a little sloppy with the football. It happens. It was rainy, shitty day. Ultimately, they did what they always do. You mentioned the, you know, the record in the second half this year as far as giving up points has been fantastic. So, yeah, I think we covered Baltimore pretty good. I'm ready to move on if you guys are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got through that, and we could talk about Tua because it's a topic not only that really deals with, you know, it's our division, our opponent, our rival, but it deals a lot with the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that really sucks is just overall, like, as much as I hate the Dolphins, it's not cool to see a player get hurt like that.
Absolutely not.
You know, when he's stumbling around from knocking his head on the ground against us.
Right.
And then, you know, it's his whole, oh, it's just my back. It's, you know,
my
blah,
neck,
blah, blah.
Or my back or my, whatever. Yeah. Yeah,
and
back,
then he plays. He ends up playing, right?
Yep.
Thursday night, which was a short week anyway.
Yeah, Sunday to Thursday, less than 5 days to get right.
And the Bengals defensive tackle just throws him down to the ground like a rag doll.
Yeah, that was a pretty nasty hit.
And his head hit hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I've seen some doctors talk about that, by the way. Like, you, even if you can legitimately claim that you can't prove it was a concussion, which is what the protocol was. The protocol was that you have to rule out other reasons why he would have motor difficulties.
Right.
If you can't rule out a physical reason, then he doesn't have to get pulled out of the game technically. That's the way the protocol worked before.
Right.
Only if you had definitive proof that it was a neurological symptom.
Right.
So that loophole is what allowed him to come back. Obviously, everybody in the country, almost every doctor in the country who's talked about this agrees that was a stupid fucking decision.
Yeah. And I think he's been fired, that
doctor. Correct.
The doctor's been fired. And then the NFL changes the way the protocol is done, theoretically. Like, they, if you stand up and you're stumbly or you're laying on the ground, basically right. knocked out.
Don't know what day it is.
You're done. Like, there's no protocol. Yeah. There's no, like, oh, let's check them in. Let's go check them first. I mean, yes, they'll check them, but...
You're potentially taking the stance that, yes, there will be people who will be mad that they no longer get to play and they are fine, but you're taking human judgment out of the equation.
Right.
Yeah. You no longer it's have a doctor yeah, making a call.
Thing. Yeah.
You just make the decision. They're out.
He's done.
Right.
So basically, the NFL said if you show any instability after a play, you stand up, you wobble, you're laying on the ground, you're not moving, whatever the case is, you're automatically out of the game. And you have 10 days of no football until you can return.
They used to have 5 questions, if I remember right. They would ask a guy 5 questions like, do you know your
they
name?
Still do that, yeah. They,
do
up
you
until
know
this
where
point.
You are?
Right.
Because especially if you're an away team, like if a guy can't, if he doesn't know what cities he's in because they're playing away from home,
they have their standard things. So,
yeah,
like, for instance,
like
5
things.
It's crazy. So, when I played football, just a quick tidbit to give you guys an instance of how like crazy it is. When I was playing high school football, I was a middle linebacker, came in, boom, hit heads, met a fullback on. Next thing I know, I'm laying on the ground looking up. And I hear like everybody like, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
I'm
yeah,
just
yeah.
like, I'm fuzzed out,
disoriented.
Man. So I get up, I play another play. And then finally the coach gets me out and I come out and he's, you know, he's looking at me and he's like, what's your name? Where are you? What day is it? Like all this stuff. Yeah. Right. And I answer all the questions. I sit out for maybe, I don't know, like the next couple defensive series or what have you. And then I end up playing the rest of the game.
Right.
You know, so, but then it's just weird because like, there's no like concussion protocol for kids like me though. Yeah. Right. Though.
Yeah.
But I mean, do you know how many times
you
hit heads in the type of football in the time I played in?
Right.
And there's no real concussion protocol. There's nothing, you know, and guys, I would have like weeks of headaches.
Right.
Headaches, dude.
Yeah.
I'd have to go to the doctor. You know, my mom would, they'd do the whole thing. Make sure you wake him up every couple hours to
right.
make sure he
Check
wakes
him.
Up, yeah. blah, blah, blah. But so anyway, backing off that story, I mean, just imagine like what these guys do this for their job.
Right.
You know, so if you're getting your head banged in and you're going in and playing another game like 4 days later.
Yeah, it's
what?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because
well, and the level of hit is a little bit different too.
Way different.
Right. And the biggest problem with all of it is now you start asking yourself, because concussions have been a huge story for 2 decades now, or at least a decade.
Yeah.
So now is it the NFL is serious about protecting the players? Or were they attempting to at least show the appearance that they were concerned about their players? Because I think in the younger leagues now in high school and things like that, I think most of those things have already changed, I believe.
I'm not around that. Yeah, right. I'm just not around that stuff to know like what would be different in high school football now.
Yeah, no you know? Pun intended. Yeah. I mean, it seems to me like that's a no-brainer. Like this should have been the way it was handled from day one.
Well,
I mean, is a game one game that critical that somebody like Tua, who obviously, I mean, it looked like he just finished off an entire bottle of whiskey. Like he was obviously disoriented and that yeah. doesn't go away. And I don't give a shit. I've never seen anybody with a sore back that couldn't maintain his own balance. Maybe it's a thing. I'm not a doctor. But I've just never seen anything like that before.
No,
you know?
Like that.
It's
to
weird.
To answer your question, A, we're never going to know, right? Like,
right.
I mean, we'll
Absolutely.
Never know for sure. But there are people out there who look at the NFL like this evil, fucking, like, cat-stroking, you know, super,
yeah,
you know,
Dr.
super,
Evil.
Yeah, Dr. Evil character or whatever. And it's like they're not villains, Right. Like, I mean, they, I don't think that they would ever say as a stance, as a company, that these guys get paid a lot and they should fucking go out there and play, even if their head hurts.
Right.
Because they get paid money. I don't think it's that simple. I think it's a question of making poor judgment calls in the moment that, you know, a lot of these guys who make these rules were not involved in this decision about Tua. You know, like, right. Did they consult any of these guys who wrote these protocols? Was there a doctor who actually knew what the hell he was doing on the field that day?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know.
But I think you're right. I think they were trying to do the right thing.
I think so,
and
too.
And I wasn't trying to paint them as a villain.
No, no, no.
But I'm saying that appearance-wise, it looks a little shady.
I'm saying that there are a lot of people saying that kind of stuff. Right. That when you're talking about this kind of money, that they will do anything. It's all about the money. You're talking billions of dollars. You know, put butts in the seats. Who cares what happens to these players? Right. And I don't think that's, you know, as bad as people paint it.
I agree with that. I can say I totally agree with that. I don't think it's an evil thing.
You could get by, you know, by team. You can get coaches that are like inconsiderate douchebags.
And that's right. And that's, you know, a person. That's not an organization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, who knows? Maybe the head coach was like, listen, like, I don't care what it is. Talmadge is back, so he can get back in this game. We need him to play.
Right.
I'm not blaming McDaniels to be like that guy. Happen,
there's a lot of fantasies that you could run through your head that would seem plausible.
Right.
Like, what are the odds anything's going to happen to him now? I mean, he already, you know, he took a hit, yeah, but he's probably going to be fine. Like,
and beyond that, I remember a story, and I don't remember who it was. I don't think it was Tiki Barber, but there was a New York Giants running back who suffered a neck injury. And the doctors told him that if he continued to play football, there was a chance, albeit a small one, that he could end up a paraplegic.
Right.
And what he told them and what he said was, I'm not playing football for me. I'm playing football because millions of dollars will set my family up for generations. So
no, I get it.
What happens to me means absolutely zero. But so the question and the reason I raise this point is Tua is interviewing, I think, either today or tomorrow with the NFL and NFL Players Association because they want his side of the story. Is it conceivable that Tua could have went, listen, I'm fine. I want to go back in the game. Would somebody listen to that? Would somebody hear him pleading that, like, I'm fine. I'm good. I know where I am. I know what day it is. I want to get back in the game.
If it's possible for an NFL player to do that in today's NFL, knowing everything they do about CTE, that's a fucking mistake.
Right.
Yeah. You should not be someone who is being, you know, interrogated about whether you have a head injury that would cause you to have neurological dysfunction and be able to make that decision yourself.
Yeah. Right? You can't have a player sit there and tell a doctor, and these are high level doctors that look at these
that
guys.
I know I'm okay.
Yeah,
forget your tests.
Yeah, like, you can't just have a guy be like, "Look, it's not my head; it's my back. My back hurts. That's why you saw me stumble. I'm good to go." You can't have a player just do that.
Or even worse than that, to say that I know I'm not okay, but I'm going to play anyway because I want to make money and I need to play. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah,
like, come on, we're not.
But the crazy part is
NFL, these are not gladiators. It may seem like it, but
the NFL
not.
Is the same organization that for 50 years had part-time referees.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, forever. Everybody just bitched about the officiating forever. And they had these guys who were mailmen fucking calling the Super Bowl. Right. Like, I mean, that was for years. So I wouldn't put too much, but I agree with you 100%. And maybe that's why the new rule is you do not go back in.
Yeah.
Any motor dysfunction whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's over.
And this is a much larger philosophical conversation to have. But generally, people who are in charge of organizations like this, or any organization or any government of any kind, they're older men, generally who have done this shit before. And back when they played, they called men who had headaches pussies.
Right.
So those people are the ones making these decisions. It doesn't exactly make a lot of sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, funny because
it's like images, everything in life.
Images of a guy sitting on the bench with a busted nose and the blood's running down their face, like all muddy and dirty because it was natural turf, leather helmets, like all this shit that, you know.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, you want that guy making the rules for what's going on now with our new technology?
Yeah. Like, well, you go back to the days of like Dick Butkus and those type of guys that just, they're
brutal.
Their equipment wasn't even near. I mean, they use magazines for their pads because their tech. I mean, the technology is like a million times farther now. So it's just like you shouldn't even rely on a guy that played, you know, 60 years ago. You know, to even make a call for what the NFL is now. But, like, who makes the call for Tua to even go back in and say he's okay? Is it the coach? Like, does the doctor overrule the coach, or does the coach overrule the doctor?
The doctor should overrule everybody.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mean, that's the way it has to be.
It's the way you'd think it should be.
It has to
be. But does it actually go that way?
I don't know.
You know?
Well, and again, the one way you can solve that is you're out. You're done. You know, we'll do the evaluation after the game, before the next game, during the week, whatever.
And according to what the regulations were, even before this change, the doctor should have had that ruling decision.
Yes.
But does that always happen? Who knows?
I know. Like, right. I know, man.
You're a guy in a sea of testosterone that wants to win that game. You know, does a coach always, I mean, does a doctor always have the cojones to make that call and enforce it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a weird situation behind the scenes that we will, I guess, really never know.
Nope.
You know, unless a team.
Well, unless really, there's an investigation that becomes public.
I was just
going
to say that. Yeah. That's the only way you'll ever know exactly what happened is if that came to an investigation.
And that probably also depends on the outcome for Tua. You know, if he has some serious neurological issues that come to light in the next couple of years, then that may be important to know.
Well, and again, the simple solution, the obvious solution, is exactly the step they took.
Right.
At least for that game, when you're most susceptible to more damage, you're done. And then do the evaluation before the next game.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's how almost all decisions like this happen.
And something maybe the 10-day thing, if it is accurate, what you were talking about, where you don't play for another 10 days, had something to do with the fact that 5 days later, he was playing another football game. Another simple solution.
Right.
So now you've probably got most cases, at least 10 days, maybe 2 weeks between concussions, which probably at least would give the brain some time to heal.
Yeah.
Right? Like I would think. But
yeah.
100%. So that puts you, like, if you had a Sunday game, you skip a week and then you play Thursday, that's okay. You know, like, I mean, it's still giving you the time you need.
Yep.
All right. Probably got to move on to the next next thing. Well, how about Jeff's stat of the week?
All right. Like, I mean, it's an obvious one, but it's so good. I mean, you got to talk about it. The fact that our Buffalo Bills have given up 0 points in the third quarter and 7 points in the fourth quarter through four games. 7 points in the second half of four consecutive football games is, in my way of thinking, just absolutely insane. When you need to play your best football and the opposing team can put up a total of 7 points through four games, that's ridiculous. I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, it's another record. Well, I wouldn't say record, but it's another long-standing thing that hasn't happened. 2009 was the last time that happened.
Right, that's right. You
and it was
that.
The Denver Broncos. So
I will never not be amazed at how every single week they do something crazy. You know, there's something new about the Bills that's just, it's been 20 years since it happened, or no team's done it ever, or whatever. Like, there's
stuff. The last record was, I think, when they beat Tennessee, that multi-point, double-digit point spreads for games won stood at 20. And that was, I don't remember, like from the 60s or something.
Went back
the last time
close
to
80 years or some shit like
that. It was nuts.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yes.
How long? I mean, like you said, it is pretty amazing. This team just keeps piling on all these different things that you shake your head and go, it's still hard to believe this is happening to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, if you count stuff that happened, you know, NFL-wide and stuff that's happening just in the, you know, team itself, the list is endless. Since Josh joined, it's just been endless.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Like, I didn't think about this with James Cook. I thought of it earlier, and I didn't mention it during that conversation. But how do you not trust this organization now? Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, and these coaches and players, that they're doing the right thing with James Cook because they've handled almost every situation. I mean, they haven't been perfect, but pretty damn close to where they took an organization that for 17 years couldn't get out of its own way.
Well, I think that the argument could be made that, you know, Ken Dorsey is still sort of an unproven part of the team.
Sure, absolutely.
Which certainly has an effect in how I think about them. Mm-hmm. But hopefully that'll all wash out in the next 3 or 4 games, and we'll know for sure that he fits in with this high-caliber team.
I have heard people talk about, too, that any given season, you need 5 games.
Yeah.
If you really want to know what a team is made of, give it 5 weeks. Because the first few weeks, a lot of it is exactly new players, new coaches, everybody kind of getting used to each other and acclimated, get the...
Sorry, I forgot to open my beer.
That shit happens. But yeah, they get used to each other. The communication you mentioned with Ken Dorsey, Josh Allen, him have worked together for years, but never in this capacity. So yeah, and again, I think this week coming up, week five, is probably a good one to see what they're really made of.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that because we have the Pittsburgh Steelers coming into town on Sunday. 1 o'clock game. Weather looks pretty decent. Looks no rain for the most part. I mean, I think there was like a small little tiny chance.
Right,
but
right. Looks like a decent weather day. Yeah. Yep.
But we got Pittsburgh coming in. Pittsburgh announced that Kenny Pickett is going to be their starter, their rookie quarterback. So no Trubisky, which I was looking forward to.
That would have been cool. I'm sure there'll still be a little bit of a reunion with him and Josh and the coaching staff and stuff like that. Because he was a really good backup. You know?
But I get it. I mean, they're trying to look for a spark because, I mean, Trubisky and they said it today, and I don't know the stat off the top of my head, but there's a certain amount of drives that Trubisky's had in these 4 games, and he's only produced 2 touchdowns out of whatever amount of drives. And that's tough, and I get it.
That's really hard.
So they're looking for a spark, and, I mean, you can't blame a team that is down right now looking for some sort of spark, and that's what they got to do. So
the two faces of Pickett right now are 3 interceptions and 2 rushing touchdowns.
Right.
So they don't know what they have either, and they haven't had an opportunity for him to prepare for a game like an entire week of preparation. He came in, they took Trubisky out, he came in kind of cold off the bench. So, they'll have a few games to see where they're at. And up until this point, the Buffalo Bills literally have played teams that either made the playoffs last year or will make the playoffs this year.
And that's what I mean,
every game has been tough.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you guys. I mean, do you have any percentage of concern in this game? I'm not really too worried.
Not personally for me because, I mean, the way our defense has been playing, number one. Number two, we're at home, which we have a clear home field advantage when we're at home.
Absolutely.
And number three, we're facing a rookie quarterback. Now, the thing with Pickett that you got to kind of compare him is, to me, he's like Josh Allen in his rookie year.
Right.
And what I mean by that
is... like Kmart Josh Allen?
Yeah, right?
Yep.
But, yeah. I mean, Kenny Pickett, he's a big quarterback. He's athletic. He has a strong arm. And he's going to take chances. So when you have a quarterback that brings that to the table, you got to still be very prepared because you don't want him to catch you off guard. You don't want a guy coming in and doing shit. There's not a lot of tape on the guy. So
you're
going to have to go back and watch what he did in Pitt, you know.
Yep.
And it's just, you still got to prepare for a guy like that.
And our attitudes towards the game are completely different than the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
They are taking this. This is a professional football team they're playing. No matter what their record shows, no matter what they are statistically, you know, big, good, bad, whatever.
Yep.
They are taking it very seriously.
Yeah.
And if our team's been spending, you know, the past 6 months preparing to face playoff teams, maybe there's more risk in this. You know what I mean? Sometimes you lose to those teams.
Well, we lost a Pittsburgh game 1 last year.
Exactly.
Well, you just don't want a team that's been down. I mean, right now they're looking for something to get them back into where they think they need to be, right? And if they think they can come into Buffalo and pull a game out, you know, that's kind of what they're looking to do, obviously. That could
make their entire season at this point.
Yeah, so, I mean,
it would be a good motivator, if nothing else.
100%. So, I mean, you still got to go in this game. And Pittsburgh's Pittsburgh, right? I mean,
they've stung us before.
Yeah, they've stung us before. We've had plenty of times in the past where they've... Yeah, it just sucks. So,
yeah.
You can't go into this game lightly. Now, for us as fans, you can look at it and be like, geez, we should walk all over these guys.
Right.
It shouldn't even be a contest. They just lost to the freaking Jets. They just lost to New England. They just lost to Cleveland. Like, this should be a beatdown for us. But
those are the times when you get so disappointed when you're wrong.
Right.
Well, again, we keep talking about all these experiences, all the disappointments, all the failures over the course of several years now. Is all their successes that they've had, they've also had these lapses. Jacksonville.
Yeah, right.
Last year's a great example.
Exactly.
Right? Oh, they can handle Jacksonville. Yeah.
It's just it's a Buffalo Bills thing to do, isn't it?
Right.
To just shit the bed on a game like that.
Right, exactly.
It wouldn't.
Well, yeah. I'd be very mad and not
really that surprised.
Well, it's happened enough times in the past because there is this black cloud over the city, and we've all experienced it. It's easy to imagine that happening, but this is a different organization. They still made the playoffs, you know, 4 out of 5 years or whatever, 3 out of 4. You know, I mean, they're just a different club now, and I think they'll take this very seriously.
And that's something that Kyle Brandt was actually talking about in the last couple of days here, is that there's always the detractors who want the Bills to fail, and they'll come up with some reason to make them less than they are.
Right.
And one of the things that they put to bed last week, he said, is that we can't win close games, which obviously we've proven now we can. If we lose this game, of course, we're going to hear that too.
Sure.
The Bills play an easy game and they throw it somehow.
They drop it.
Yeah, you don't want that. I mean, last year, it's not like we haven't proven we can beat shit teams, because last year we crushed bad teams.
Yeah.
You know,
like New England.
New England, Houston, Washington. We put it to bad teams last year. I mean, Washington was what, like a 40 something to like 7, or it was...
Oh, it was like 40-20.
Or no, it was a 40-23 shutout.
40-23. That was Houston. I think we shut out like 35-0.
Wasn't it back-to-back?
We had a couple of back-to-back shutouts. Yeah,
I think we had Miami at 35-0.
Yeah.
And then, but I almost, well,
yeah,
pardon us,
everybody, that, you know,
we have short memories.
Yeah.
We're basically three goldfish in a room.
Right.
Yeah. But that being said, it's so funny because I actually heard them talking on GR again, and I think it might have been Tasker and Chris Brown, talking about the Kansas City game, because we did beat them last year, but we almost have to beat them again for us to have vanquished the demon, so to speak, right?
Makes sense. I mean,
and we have to work twice as hard.
Talking about the Kansas City game
anyway.
We're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday, and they're talking about the Kansas City game.
Well, that's a game that matters, right?
The Buffalo Bills are not doing that.
Yeah.
They couldn't give a shit about the Kansas City game. They're focusing on
every week.
So as fans, as, you know, radio personalities or television personalities or whatever, that's fine. You want to skip ahead and talk about Kansas City. We got the liberty to do that.
It's a really good point. Yeah, I mean, the world may have moved on as long as the Bills don't move on.
Yeah, our organization, I mean, there's parts of the organization that does skip ahead, but it doesn't.
Sure.
They don't bring it into the team's preparation. They got guys watching film and putting together shit for Kansas City right now.
Right.
But it's not brought in until the week of that game.
Because
that's what it is.
Because if we do shit the bed and lose this game, our morale is going to be toast for Kansas City.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Right. You want to go into Kansas City on a really strong note.
Yep.
So it was an inferior team, you know, and pardon me, Pittsburgh. At this point, it would appear that you are the inferior team, and of course, you're starting a rookie quarterback, which is never a great idea.
And like you said, it takes 5 games. So after we stomp them this week, they will be an inferior team. You have to give them the credit they deserve.
Yeah. Yeah.
True that.
They've struggled mightily already. I think we looked at the rankings, some of the statistical information. They're in the bottom third in almost every offensive or defensive category that means anything, where the Bills are generally top 10, mostly top 5 in both offensive and defensive categories. So, yes, theoretically on paper, the Bills should have no problem. It's a 14-point spread. Odds makers
might
are
go
giving
up.
The Bills. It might go up.
Yeah.
With them starting a rookie quarterback, that might have an impact. Yeah. Yeah, a lot can happen. Guys can that are injured could come back this week. That might also change the line at all based on where the votes or the betting goes, right? So
yeah, yeah, it depends on injury stuff like that too. But the other thing that I was the one of the bigger gaps that we have against this team too is third down efficiency, man. I mean,
yeah,
we're number top. One in third down efficiency with almost 56% of the time we're converting.
Yeah,
what was it? Was it the Tennessee 20th. Game? You said they were like 9 of 10 or something like that. Was that Tennessee or?
Tennessee, they actually were like 4 of 13. The Rams, they were 9 of 10. So it was Rams. They were, the Bills were good. They were 9 of 10. Tennessee, they were 4 of 13.
Tennessee, and we were terrible on third down.
Apparently, because of the first quarter, maybe.
Well, we also held them to 7 points.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, it's weird. It was like we're good against the Rams, 9 of 10, and third. Tennessee, 4 of 13. And then you go to Miami, we're actually like, I think we're like 12 of 13 or something, yeah, in that area.
Really good, yeah.
And, but we couldn't score points for some Baltimore freaking reason.
Back down.
Baltimore, again, was like 4 of 13. But
it's not a good omen for Pittsburgh.
We've averaged out good over the four games at 56% of the time. Right. So.
Yeah, which is, like you said, first in the NFL.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh is, I mean, you got to look at third down, right? I mean, Pittsburgh can't convert on third down. They're in the 20th ranking out of 32 teams.
So. Yeah, and it could be completely different now with a different quarterback, though. You know,
yeah, it could
and
be.
And the funny thing is, again,
I don't think it'll get better.
You never know, right?
Yeah, maybe.
But I doubt it.
Everybody talked about that. Hardest part of our schedule was the first 7 games because we have a bye in week 7. So amongst those were the Rams, won the Super Bowl, Tennessee, number 1 seed in AFC last year, Baltimore, Miami. Miami's improving dramatically. Baltimore is always tough. Now we have Pittsburgh. Then it's Kansas City, bye week, and Green then Bay. Green Bay. So, yep. Like, this is the hardest part of our schedule. So the fact we're 3-1 right now, people should be looking at as a really, really good thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, we should be 4-0. We should have beat Miami. We shot ourselves in the foot over and over again, so we didn't. But we're still 3-1. You know what I mean?
If we can enter the bye week with 5 wins, I think we're going to be in a really great place. And well, I don't think there's any reason we shouldn't accomplish that.
Right now, most people's opinions, including mine, are that Kansas City and the Buffalo Bills are the two top teams in the AFC.
Right.
So if you're looking to get the number one seed, the best way to do that is to have a tiebreaker advantage over the Kansas City Chiefs. And the only way you can do that
is to beat them.
Yeah, you got to beat them. Yeah,
Are we playing them once?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, we've got one shot
right now. Yeah. Right. A lot of sports. What do you call them? Have our record 13-4 now. So basically,
prognosticators are looking at the entire season.
Yep. So they have us going from here on out. They have us going 10-3.
Wow.
I'll take it. I'll take it, dude.
As long as one of those losses isn't to Kansas City.
Well, it very well could be, though.
Yeah, Green Bay, Kansas City, and Cincinnati may be the three teams, the three losses. I mean, that's probably three of our tougher games.
If you're going to lose 3 more games, you definitely don't want it against a division opponent.
Right.
So
preferably not a conference opponent either. But
preferably not, but division definitely not because, I mean, we want to win our division.
Yeah, and I don't see us dropping another division game.
Yeah, depending on how things go with Tua, I don't see why we should lose any division games here and out. I mean,
I think we're better than the Jets. No. I think we're better than the Patriots.
We have to.
Yeah.
And our next game against Miami is in Buffalo. So I think we have a real shot at going 5-1 in the division,
Big time.
Which would help us tremendously. You know, especially with this Miami is currently
be
the easiest
being. Yeah,
Miami's currently
have.
3-1. Yep. They're 2-0 in the division.
We talked about this last week or the week before, but if we can't do it this year, this is our best chance we're going to have for a while.
Right. And somebody did bring up, too, realistically, the Bills' Super Bowl window is wide open for possibly years. Whereas, like, the Buccaneers, Tom Brady, he can't keep going forever. Like, he's got to be getting close. At 45, it's got to be miserable just waking up in the morning after a football game. It's got to be. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
The body is not the same at 45 as it is at 30 or 25. You know, I mean, it's just
not. If
you're
on voodoo diet or whatever the hell he's eating, maybe you feel great.
Yeah. If he's taking some
formaldehyde or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Weird supplement that makes his bones not. Oh, you're looking at the time over there?
I just peeked at the time. I went, wow, where'd the time go, man?
We need to get you a clock you can see.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we got to put it up on the board.
Just get like a like shot clock or something.
I'll put it up on the TV next time, man.
Yep, there you go.
It wouldn't matter if you saw a clock anyway.
I think we covered pretty much all of it, right?
Well, we got two things quick we got to do. Players of the game and then our
scores.
Scores.
Yeah.
I'm not going first this time. Somebody else go first.
Go ahead, Jeff.
We doing offense first or defense?
Always offense first.
Devin Singletary.
Devin Singletary for you?
Yep.
I like it. This week for me is going to be, I'm probably going to have to go Dawson Knox.
Ah, you took it.
Yeah.
Damn.
Fine, I'll just go with Stephon Diggs.
That's a good
one. Easy choice.
Might as well.
I think he's going to, I think actually all three of these guys could have very good games.
Yeah.
Our offense as a whole, I think, will have a very good game.
Defensive?
Defense, I got to think about that for a second. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go with Greg Rousseau. The guy tied his sack total from last year in four games. He has four sacks. I think against Pittsburgh, he could really shine. Really shine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go with the group.
Now, real quick, I said if Jordan Poyer plays, I predicted he would have a really good week. And what did you say, Jake? Last week?
Last week, I had Matt Milano.
And we were both on the money.
Yeah.
I picked two guys that actually watched the game. So, shit happens.
It's fine, dude. You know, don't feel bad about it.
No, it's a tie.
I'm gonna take the cheater's way out. I'm gonna say Jordan Poyer again. I think he's gonna be hot.
It's not a bad fired plan.
Poyer.
Keep it rolling.
I'm switching it to a guy that, I mean, Kenny Pickett is through three picks against the Jets last week, right? So I'm going with a guy that's been trending up the last few weeks. I'm going with Kyrie Elam, dude.
I knew you would.
Yep.
I mean,
and we didn't talk about him. He's looking good. I mean, he's looking good.
I think he's gonna have a game that is gonna kind of break him out, so to speak. I think he's on the brink, man.
I think so too. I think he's going to be special. I really do. I can't wait to see him and Trey White on the field at the same time.
It's
going to be exceptional.
It's going to be super exceptional.
I'm really hoping that this is the year that not only does Jordan Poyer have a chance of being possibly the MVP of the league in the defense, but I would love to see him get his due, get to go to the Pro Bowl, you know, like get some recognition for his talent.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be tough to see him.
He's running out of years.
Right.
I want to see him and Micah Hyde, I want to see both go at the same time. I don't want like one leave.
Just tear the Band-Aid off kind of a thing?
Yeah, it's just like when they're both done, they're done.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. To a certain extent, you're right.
But
quick kudos too. We didn't mention, I think it's Pro Football Focus has three of our defensive ends in the top like dozen players.
Yeah.
Boogie Basham, Greg Rousseau, and Von Miller. So kudos to those guys.
Yeah, awesome, man.
Strong team.
Scores, guys?
If I'm going first, I'm going to say the Bills win this one handily. I'm thinking 35-13.
I'm going to go 36-10.
I think the Bills need this one, and I'm going to say 42-18.
Wow. Well, is that a scoregami?
It might be.
18?
It might be. 42 is good. I mean, 42 is just 18. Six touchdowns.
How do you... 18, that's a tough one, man.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
A score,
six field goals.
That's a score.
Six field goals.
It's a score got me all day.
Yeah, I mean, that actually, six field goals might actually be about the best Pittsburgh can muster. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'd love to see it.
Maybe.
I didn't, I think, what you call it, Tyler Bass, I think in his first season, might have kicked six field goals near the end of the season.
Could
something
have
like that. It was crazy, but
could have. I like
it. Was five at least.
I like 18 though. That's that's like
it'd be nice and humiliating in a really good way for the Bills.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, especially being like, how do you get 18?
Because in order to accomplish that, they actually have to get down the field and then fail.
I mean, you could over do and over and over a touchdown, which a touchdown, a field goal, and then a touchdown with a 2-point conversion.
Yeah,
so it's not completely insane, but.
No.
It's a unique number. You don't hear it a bunch.
I just feel like the game could be another Tennessee game where we just completely crunch them.
Yeah.
And then by the time the fourth quarter hits, we might not see most of our starters, which I don't like that, but I think it's going
to that's where the 13 comes from because they'd all have to be in the first half. You're not going to see it after that.
Yeah. Correct.
Because they're not going to let them score in the second half. They're going to probably try to keep that going. I would bet.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Because they won't talk about it. They won't. They'll pretend they know nothing about what you're talking about if you ask them that question. But I guarantee you it's in their minds. Like, they don't let anybody score in the second half.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right. Well, we hit the hour mark, so yeah, we're a little over what we normally do, but
yep.
Right.
Hey, it's Bills season, right?
That's right.
You know, we're playing good, so we
got a lot to talk about.
It's fun to talk about.
Yeah. All right, Jay, tell them how to listen to the podcast.
Well, you can find us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at ETD Buffalo. And if you want to listen to the podcast, you can go to anchor.fm. That's where we host it. Or anywhere that you like to listen to your podcast. We're pretty much all over the place. A lot of people prefer Spotify, Google, Apple, those types of things.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a fun week because we're going to get a big win. I think we all see that coming. So,
oh, yeah.
All right. Just want to end it with wow, geez.
Want to end it with a little better grammar in English.
You're going to have to cut that. You're going to have to cut that out.
I am not at all. All right. That's staying in.
Can I start it over?
Yeah.
All right. We just want to end with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.